On a dark blue screen, a blue sign blinks on, neon. On a dark brown screen, a matrix of colorful symbols form block letters, fifth season. Letters fade in below, a CJ&M company. Oversized blue and white text slides across a black screen, overlapping itself. A smaller version of the text appears, film 4. On a black screen, white Art Deco letters surround a medallion picturing a panda bear chewing bamboo. Likely story. From the front seat of a car, a snowy forest of bare trees. Gold letters with a burgundy shadow appear. Fifth season and film 4 present a Likely Story production. In the car, a curtain of smoke curls from above the console. An Omniscient Films production. The smoke cloaks the dashboard and steering wheel. As it begins to obscure the windshield, large golden letters appear. Eileen. The car's interior fades to solid gray behind the text. Through a water-flecked windshield, steely waves wash onto an overcast beach. In the rearview mirror, a young woman's wide blue eyes scan the scene and settle somewhere to her right. Through the passenger window, a brown sedan with a vinyl-wrapped roof and chrome trim is parked on the sand. Figures move in the back seat. In the first car, the mousy-faced, blue-eyed young woman watches from the corner of her eye as the figures in the brown car embrace. A young man lies back. A young woman with a flicked-out bob climbs on top of him. The mousy woman cracks the door of her seafoam green car and seizes a handful of dirty snow. She crams it down the front of her heavy skirt. She leans back, winces, and pulls her wool coat around herself. Her seafoam green 1954 Dodge Coronet skirts the dreary beach on a two-lane highway. Snow dusts rocks on the shore. The Coronet turns past a white wooden church. It trails smoke through a neighborhood of colonial houses. Inside the car, the windows are open. The mousy woman is wrapped in a haze of smoky exhaust. She turns the Coronet into a driveway. Smoke pours from the open windows. Holding two clear bottles to her chest with one arm, she enters a beige house with dirty siding. An icicle drops onto the wooden steps. In a living room, she approaches a motionless man in a recliner. She places the bottles on the floor beside him and picks up an identical empty one. She traipses into a wallpapered kitchen, sets down the empty bottle, and opens, then closes, a rounded enamel fridge. She climbs a twilit set of stairs, then another, and emerges in an unfinished attic. She presses several crumpled bills into a nearly full tin box. She presses the lid down over the heap of paper. She stows the box on the bottom shelf of a battered cabinet. On an army cot near a window, she lies propped on her elbows with a pile of candy. She unrolls yellow paper from a chocolate and pops it into her mouth whole. She chews and spits it back into the wrapper. Asleep, her arm dangles off the cot next to the pile of rewrapped candy. In a prison, a steel-barred door slides open and the mousy woman in her gray coat shuffles through. She passes a uniformed man in a wire-glass cubicle and walks through a barred door. She passes through a hallway behind a graffitied room. Inside, a row of teenage boys in chambray shirts converse with people in street clothes through glass dividers. She climbs a dimly lit staircase. Teenage boys loiter in an asphalt yard surrounded by razor-wired fence. The mousy woman watches from a window. In one corner, a lanky boy leans against a wall, his arms crossed tightly.
Eileen!
She shifts her eyes from the window.
Eileen! I need form I-37.
Transfer form?
No, intake. I-37. Aren't you listening?
An older woman shakes her head.
She is useless.
Dr. Fry still needs to sign it. He's probably asleep in his office.
A woman in cat-eye glasses.
Yeah. Maybe you could go wake up Dr. Fry. Blow softly in his ear. He loves that.
Leave Eileen alone. She's tired.
Oh, is that what it is? Thought maybe it was that time of the month.
At least I have a time of the month.
Oh, yeah, you know something, honey? It won't last forever. You'll be old like us soon.
In a hallway, below a portrait of LBJ, a row of conservatively dressed women sit in vinyl chairs, some holding children. Eileen rushes in and gestures for one woman to stand. The rest follow. She pats the woman down. In another room, a young guard fingers a key on his belt. Eileen frisks another woman. The women file into an adjoining room with steel tables and ashtrays. In the hallway, Eileen watches through wired glass windows. She turns toward the presidential portrait and sits. Eileen taps her hands on a steel desk. She glances over her shoulder through the glass. The young guard leans on a cinder block wall in the visiting room. He meets Eileen's eyes. The young guard striding through two doors toward Eileen, grasping her arm and spinning her around to face the visiting room. Eileen bracing her hands on the glass. The guard tugging at his belt. The guard kissing Eileen's neck. Eileen grabbing his hair. Eileen flattening her cheek against the glass. At the desk, Eileen's fingers move under her nubby wool skirt. Eileen startles and looks over her shoulder. In the visiting room, the guard leans against the wall. The women begin to stand and leave. Eileen gets up. In the hallway, women file past Eileen. She raises her fingers to her nose. Holding her coat, she trudges down a cinder block hallway and spots a crowd through a glass paneled door. Two of her colleagues stand with men in suits holding wine glasses.
I'll take her. Seriously.
I think you will be taking your insulin and your retirement package. That'll be enough for you.
That's right. I'll really miss all the fun around here.
Let's hear it for Dr. Fry.
Eileen's car rolls along the road along the overcast beach. The driver's window is open. She parks and steps out, crossing her arms. Her low-heeled pumps edge past a snowbank outside a shop window. Inside, Eileen uses one hand to pull two pints of gin off a shelf. She approaches the cashier.
I see a lot of air in these days.
Yeah, a lot of broken hearts out there.
Hey, hon.
Hey.
How's your dad?
Good.
She smiles tightly.
You don't want it. Let me get that.
Thanks.
She hurries away. The man who bought the liquor, a police officer, watches her. Eileen's car rounds a bend into her darkening neighborhood. Through the open car window, she spots the man from the recliner wearing a bathrobe and brandishing a gun at a police officer.
Shut the fuck up!
You shut up!
You shut up!
I'm gonna have a drink.
You right there, Chief?
You can fuck right off.
Goddamn Lutheran's next door, the problem, not me.
Nobody's complaining. We just want to make sure you're getting home safe.
Nobody's.
A neighbor watches from a window.
Safe and sound. Why wouldn't they be safe and sound?
Dad?
I keep the whole fucking neighborhood safe and sound. What do you know?
She tries to steer him away.
Eileen, go inside.
Okay, Dad. Come on.
Go inside.
Come on, please. Hey.
A woman in hair rollers watches.
Trust me, Eileen. Nobody wants nothing to do.
Okay.
He blows kisses at the neighbors.
Goddamn Lutheran's right there. I always hated those people.
Eileen ushers him upstairs to a front door. The cop, Buck, follows.
Who's this? You know who that guy was?
We got it all under control, Chief. You can take it easy, please.
Take it easy. You fucking take it easy.
You're not a cop anymore.
Yeah, sure. I didn't want to retire. They made me because I was too goddamn good at it.
I got to get
Pour
back
me
to
a
the
drink.
Station.
Good. Get back to the station, Buck. Give me a drink.
Eileen pours.
Give us a call if you need anything.
Merry Christmas.
Eileen hands her father a drink. He holds it up and beckons to her.
Hey, come here. What's that smell? Did you step in something?
No. Why? What do you smell?
Roadkill. Maybe you should keep your distance.
He waves her away. She removes his shoes and picks them up.
Yeah, I'll keep my distance.
Fuck are you doing?
But maybe you should be nicer to me. No one else is going to put up with your shit.
Go then. That guy Joni. She wouldn't keep a place looking like this. She's a real woman, your sister. She smells like a woman.
She knows how to keep a house.
And she doesn't live here. And she's married.
Yeah, because she's not a hanger-on.
And she doesn't want to talk to you.
Yeah, sure, because she's made a life of her own. She's made something of herself.
Upstairs, Eileen piles Min's shoes on the carpet.
Whatever that.
Get a life, Eileen. Get a clue.
She pauses. She wraps her arms around the unwieldy heap. Outside, Eileen trips down the porch steps. Landing on her backside, the shoes scatter over the snow. Balancing the shoes in one arm, she opens the trunk of the coronet. She tips them inside. She places her hands on the trunk lid and leans on her arms. In the prison yard, the lanky boy leans against the wall. He looks up. In a turtleneck and shapeless Fair Island cardigan, Eileen peers down from her office window. In a parking lot full of beige and gray cars, Eileen hauls three trash bags to a dumpster. She heaves in the first two bags and pauses with the third. She watches a red Thunderbird pull in. The third bag tears, showering her feet with damp garbage. Her nylon stockings sag around her ankles. She shakes liquid from her hand. She follows the red car's progress across the lot. A woman in dark glasses steps from the Thunderbird. She pats her bleached hair with a red gloved hand and strides away. Her bare knees are visible between her stiletto heels and the hem of her checkered skirt. Beside the dumpster, Eileen stares at the woman. Inside, she hurries up the stairs.
All right, listen up.
She lifts the hem of her baggy skirt and examines her feet.
As you know, in the new year, we will be up for state review. So we're going to be tightening our procedures.
Eileen slides into the back of a smoky room.
And implementing new strategies based on some big new ideas.
She drifts past men in suits.
And on that note, this new young lady to my left, Dr. Miss Rebecca St. John, is our new prison psychologist.
The blonde woman.
She's just finished her doctorate at Radcliffe.
Harvard.
Rebecca takes a drag from a slim cigarette.
We may not be Harvard people, but I think we can keep up.
Her hair is set in waves above a tailored skirt suit.
She can keep up with us.
She flashes a smile at someone, batting downturned black eyes. She gazes steadily through the crowd at Eileen, who freezes against the wall. Eileen's lank hair partially obscures her face.